Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Darren Hunsberger, the Chief Commercial Officer for Ainsworth Game Technology, on how the company has survived the pandemic and is planning for future growth. The GGB podcast is brought to you by IGT, where the new Peak Bar Top poker cabinet will put your bar over the top, built with an emphasis on player comfort and game variety. Learn more at IGT.com/peakbartop.
Try not to fall. My heart's out of the running. Two love scratch for another sake. Race is on and it looks like heartache. And the winner loses all.
Ainsworth Game Technology has had a rather tumultuous couple of years. In 2018, founder Len Ainsworth sold his majority of the company to Novomatic, but that company has remained a passive partner except for a few cooperative ventures. Darren Hunsberger joined Ainsworth in 2017 as Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing with a 25-year track record in the slot business. Now, as Chief Commercial Officer, he is responsible for the company's activity in the North American market. He has increased the company's penetration into tribal gaming, is planning to enter the VLT market, and directed a strategy that has made Ainsworth a leader in the historic horse racing machine market. He spoke with me at the Ainsworth offices in Las Vegas in December.
Second place. Now the race is on and here comes Brad in the backstretch. Heartache.
Darren Hunsberger, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Here we are in the Ainsworth headquarters in Las Vegas. This building opened about 2 years ago with a lot of dignitaries here. The governor opened it, cut the ribbon, and what does that mean for the company to have such a high class headquarters here in the capital of gaming?
Well, I think as a trying to be a major manufacturer in the industry, it's important that we have a presence,
sure.
Especially. In the capital of our industry, Las
mm-hmm.
Vegas.
Right.
So it really gives us a showcase to bring our customers in. Certainly gives us an advantage as we're recruiting employees
mm-hmm.
And giving them a first-class facility to work out of.
Right, right. And it is beautiful. And, of course, it's right off the freeway here, so it gives you a lot of brand advertising.
Yeah,
well,
it's
right?
It's really a great location.
Right.
And I think that as you see, more manufacturers are moving out of the what was the center of the manufacturing world in the past near the airport, and it
right.
seems a lot of them are working along the 215 Beltway now that gives them easy access to employees and easy access for our customers to come visit us.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we go back a little and give our listeners an idea of your background and how long you've been here, because there's been a lot of exciting things happen since you've been here, but I want people to hear what you've done before you got to Ainsworth.
Oh, okay. That's great. Well, I'm a Nevada native.
Okay.
I grew up in Reno and went to University of Nevada, got a finance degree, and my career in the gaming industry started in 1990, so
okay.
This is my 30th year.
Nice.
I started out in accounting. And finance. I worked for a consulting firm in Reno and
okay.
had an opportunity to move into the vendor world and got a job with Bally in northern Nevada,
mm-hmm.
Eventually relocating to Las Vegas. I've had some great opportunities as the industry has grown and new manufacturers have come on board. I went to Konami. I was the 15th employee at Konami.
Right.
First salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up as director of sales for North America. Had a great opportunity to open markets
right.
all across North America, have some long-lasting relationships
mm-hmm.
associated with that.
Sure.
Most recently, I was with Shuffle Master, worked for Gavin Isaacs there and David Lopez, so
right.
I had great mentoring opportunities
mm-hmm.
As I worked in those different companies. I went through the integration and acquisitions that were associated with Bally buying Shuffle and
mm-hmm.
then ultimately, I followed Gavin to Cygames and the acquisition of Bally, and then about 3 years ago, I ended up over here at Ainsworth with an opportunity to run the commercial aspect of the business.
Okay.
So currently, I'm overseeing marketing, product management, service, and sales.
Okay, great. Now, I guess your experience with Konami, you breaking into other parts of the country, is really going to come in handy here at Ainsworth.
Yeah, it's been great. Right now I'm overseeing North America.
Mm-hmm.
I have long-lasting relationships and have experience of opening all those different markets. So
right.
it gives us gives me some insight to help our team develop products for specific markets,
sure.
as well as be able to assist our salespeople as they're out there working with our customers.
Great. So, you know, there's been a lot of exciting things happening in Ainsworth since you've been here, and I think the Star Curve Cabinet is really one of the most interesting aspects that you brought on. Explain what that's all about.
Yeah, so Ainsworth may have been a little bit behind the other manufacturers as mm-hmm. it related to hardware.
Right.
So we made a concerted effort to up our game in that area. So prior to COVID shutting everything down, we were preparing to launch the A-Star Curve, which is our new 43-inch curve cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we got some hiccups there as COVID hit. We were ready to launch it at NIGA. But we've been able to do that now virtually.
Mm-hmm.
We have several out in the field now. Our first installation was in Oklahoma, and we're having great results. We launched it with 9 different titles, both high denom and low denom.
Okay.
So we certainly feel like we have a competitive cabinet now in mm-hmm. the market.
Okay.
And as you know, as you walk floors, we see how important it is to have a cabinet that stands out.
Right.
You know, it's very competitive out there. Our competition is very aggressive in cabinet releases and driving floor or gaining floor space through mm-hmm. New cabinets being offered on the casino floor.
Well, walk me through that process of designing a cabinet. I mean, are there certain things that you have to have in it, and then you have add-ons, and do you do focus groups, and how does that work?
Yeah, I think it's different companies handle it different ways.
Yeah, sure.
So some people bring in companies that are experienced in doing industrial design and designing mm-hmm. cabinets. We did ours in-house, and we utilized some consulting in Australia.
Okay.
There's definitely different aspects that you want to make sure are integrated into what your new cabinet is.
Right.
You know, I think everybody uses an LCD button panel now. We want to make sure that you have the flexibility associated with that. You want to have the ergonomics in a manner that a customer is going to be comfortable and be able to sit for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that the monitor is set so that it doesn't cause any fatigue for the customer. So there's a lot of different things that they look at as they design a cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
You bring in focus groups. You bring in players to play the cabinet to get a feel for it before you finally go to your final design and build the materials on a cabinet.
Okay, great. So you're also entering another new field here with a Keno and Poker product. How did that come about?
Well, we had been in conversations with MTD, mm-hmm. which was a manufacturer of Keno and Poker product in some unique markets. They're up in Montana
mm-hmm.
And Louisiana, and then most recently we launched in South Dakota. We really felt like it was an area of the market that's been underserved.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of competition. IGT historically has owned that market in Nevada and other GLI or Class 3 jurisdictions. But we really saw an opportunity in distributed markets
mm-hmm.
Like Montana and South Dakota that we could provide a product that was going to be unique to the market.
Mm-hmm.
We recently signed an exclusivity deal with Golden Gaming on their route in Montana,
mm-hmm.
And happy to say that our product is one of the top performers in the market.
Okay.
That market is really driven by Keno Play.
Right. Okay.
We inherited in the acquisition, and who's stayed on board with us, the designer, Dusty Fadsbender,
mm-hmm.
that really is the market leader in designing unique Keno product.
Mm-hmm. So it's largely a Keno Play then.
I think in that particular market in
mm-hmm.
Montana, but surprisingly, as we go into other markets like South Dakota, we're mm-hmm. seeing the real product doing really well.
Okay.
And Louisiana is a unique market in that
game
outcome has to be based off of poker derivatives,
right?
And so we utilize down there it's a poker and mm-hmm. and using a poker engine to drive slot play. I wouldn't call it just a Keno product. We've seen that we've been able to utilize it and seen performance of different content on that platform mm-hmm. depending on the market that we're in.
Okay. So it's not really aimed at the video poker player per se.
No, but we have 10-play poker on it.
Yeah.
We have
mm-hmm.
some other poker derivatives that we think will play well in other markets.
Sure.
We have since gone through and taken the specific games that are offered and made changes to them to fit a Class 3 market.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently submitted in GLI and anticipate an approval prior to the end of the year. And we have some orders pending in California, and that will be the first Class 3 market that we enter. Mm-hmm. And then we're also in the process of preparing it to be submitted into the Nevada market.
Okay.
Again, I think that it's an underserved market. Keno has, you know, been a mainstay in the industry for many years, but the Keno product we developed is a bit different than your standard single card or four card Keno product. We developed a game that utilizes some of the characteristics of what you see on slots. So you get free play or extra draws, and trying to create some unique gameplay on Keno that is going to gain some interest from Keno players.
Okay. So you're looking at other distributed markets as well?
We are. So, you know, we just like everyone else, we're monitoring what's happening from a legislative perspective. And I think we all know with COVID and the loss of tax revenue in many states, you're going to see people states start to look for avenues to fill those gaps. And we think that there's going to be some legislation that, and we know some is pending on in different markets that we think our product will perform well in.
Right, great.
The Peak Bar Top Cabinet from IGT features a 23-inch constant curved LCD display and a robust variety of proven games. Based on extensive feedback from customers and players, IGT designed a more comfortable machine to meet the needs of all players. With a curved screen that reduces glare, a more ergonomic button deck, and appealing best-in-class games, the Peak Bar Top has everything players want for the ultimate entertainment experience. Learn more at igt.com/peakbartop. And now back to our podcast.
Well, another market you're actually becoming a leader in is the historic horse racing machines. You know, I saw them for the first time in Virginia a few years ago, and you know, I was pretty impressed with you know, the quality of the games themselves. But that wasn't even your game, and I know Ainsworth quality is way higher than that quality. So explain how you got into that market and where you are right now.
Yeah, that's been a really exciting opportunity for us, and we're very fortunate to have a great partner in Churchill Downs. Mm-hmm. So Churchill approached us really feeling that the product that was being offered in Kentucky at that time wasn't going to be competitive with what they needed to compete with.
Sure. Right.
And what was unique about what they were trying to do is they had a property that they were going to develop in Louisville that was going to compete directly with Class 3 casino across the river in Indiana, the Caesars property. So they came to us with specific design characteristics that they wanted to see in the game. And we had a great R&D team that was able to implement a HHR system that closely emulated the game outcome of a Class 3 device. So we are now across three different properties with Churchill Downs in Kentucky. We're at their new Oak Grove property. We're in Louisville at the Derby City property, and then recently they opened a property in northeast Kentucky in Newport.
Okay.
And we've had great success there. We really look at it as our system being second to none in that segment of the market.
Right.
So we've now contracted with some of our competitors, so we've developed or helped integrate IGT and their cabinets and games onto our system. So they also are live in Kentucky, as has Scientific Games. So it's really giving diversity for Churchill and making them or giving them an opportunity to have very competitive product in the marketplace. We also are installed at Ellis Park in Kentucky, Red Mile, and most recently we installed 450 machines at Kentucky Downs, which is now called the Mint, which is just north of Nashville. So very excited about that opportunity. We have 100 games going into Virginia this month. And then there's a couple other markets that we're close to closing in on from an approval perspective, and we anticipate entering those markets early next year.
How do you think the HHR machines are going to do in Virginia now that they're going to be competing with real Class 3 gaming?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. It's it definitely is going to be a situation, I think, where you have convenience gaming versus more resort-style gaming. I think, the you know, just like class two, you've seen a kind of divergence of as class two, as technology's improved, it plays more and more like a class three device.
Right.
And I think if you play an HHR machine,
mm-hmm.
I think most people have trouble determining whether that's a class three device
right.
or
sure.
an
right.
HHR device.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's going to depend on the product diversity they have
right.
And how they'll be able to compete with, you know, the large casino operators that are coming into the market.
Right.
Colonial Downs, you know, operates
yeah,
the Rosie's.
That's where I saw things.
Yeah,
yeah.
facilities across
right.
That market. And one of our competitors has the majority of the footprint there,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
that'll continue going forward. And I think it depends where the properties go.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know Colonial Downs has a couple of property in Richmond, which isn't going to be served by Class 3.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure that one will do very well. I think they got one up in Dumfries, too, if I'm not mistaken. Are they going to open one up there?
Yeah.
So there are locations that are away from the Class 3
Yeah,
casinos.
And I think they announced that they weren't going to pursue the one near Danville.
So
I think they're going to be smart about where mm-hmm. they continue to operate and,
sure.
and make sure that, you know, they're not going head-to-head with the resort-style casinos that will go in the market.
Yeah, I think you're correct about convenience gambling,
right.
for sure.
And it'll be interesting because, you know, I think we all saw that, you know, the skill-based games that are in the market
right.
are the gray area machines.
Yes, right.
And so, you know, I think there's still some things they got to play out in that area
sure,
that
right.
may be more detrimental to them than the resort style
right.
casinos themselves,
okay.
but that's down the road.
So you're concerned about that court decision in Kentucky at this point?
You know, we weren't party to that that case,
mm-hmm.
But obviously we've been monitoring it very closely and,
right.
and working with Churchill to assure that our product will meet the requirements that'll be governed by the state, and we feel that you know, we have a path to make sure that our games continue to comply and
right.
and are live in that market.
Okay, great. So, you know, you've had a lot of success in the high denom, the premier or the premium market as well. Explain, you know, your strategy there.
Yeah, historically, Ainsworth is, you know, probably been the top performer in high D video product.
Mm.
In the Class 3 environment.
Right.
When they entered the market, that was really the niche they filled. Games like Eagle Bucks, Thunder Cash,
right.
The Enforcer still resonate today, and they're 10, 12 years old. So
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, you see that high D seems to stand the test of time better than, you know, lower denom games.
Right.
High D players tend to be more loyal to their product
mm-hmm.
And come back to their existing games over and over.
Right.
So we got a bit away from focusing on that, so we have a renewed focus on developing high D. We recently developed a three-reel video product utilizing a wheel in which we're offering it in a 9 and 5 line dollar and quarter or 50 cent a denomination that we're seeing great results on. So we're going to continue to push the envelope
mm-hmm.
in high D, and I think the one thing we've seen during COVID is high D players have seemed to have, you know, really come back in
right.
force,
sure.
and
yeah.
and we're seeing strong play in high D,
mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure we have products to entice them and keep them engaged on the casino floor. So
sure, sure.
It's a big emphasis for us.
Great. Well, another big area that you're very well known is the tribal market. How important is that to you, and what, you know, what has been some of your strategies there?
Well, I think traditionally we've always done well in tribal,
mm-hmm.
as a lot of smaller manufacturers or Australian manufacturers
right,
have been.
Sure.
Our games seem to resonate more with, you know, the regional markets
mm-hmm.
That have a high frequency of play
right.
From the same players. You know, tribal has been important to us. We've developed a Class 2 product. We're in Washington State in TLS now as well. So our focus still is developing games that are going to resonate with those regional players and also continue to maintain those relationships with, you know, the tribal casinos. And
mm-hmm.
and that's very important for us moving forward.
Okay, great. So tell us how Ainsworth has you know endured this pandemic. I mean, it's obviously worldwide, and it was very bad in Australia, still is. You know,
yeah.
How are you coping with this?
Yeah, you know, it's been difficult for all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, first and foremost, we wanted to make sure our employees were safe. Mm-hmm. You know, we as most have, we sent everybody home, and we still have a large sure. portion of our labor force working remotely. Mm-hmm. In some instances, we can't. Yeah. We know we got a production line, and
sure.
we're fortunate, as you know, being here in our facility, that we have a large facility that,
right.
that lends itself well for social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
We ran multiple shifts on our production line to assure that we were able to maintain that and, mm-hmm. and kept our employees safe. One of the things that we didn't do during this time was reduce our development team.
Right.
We wanted to make sure that we were continuing to develop games, and when we came out of this, mm-hmm. that we would have a strong pipeline of product. So over the last couple of years, we had beefed up our development team here in Las Vegas. We have 30-plus employees now in development in Las Vegas, and we're continuing to develop games primarily for our single-screen A-Star Curve mm-hmm. product here in the Las Vegas office. You know, I think like most, we had to furlough, and we have had
sure.
some right-sizing
right.
Based off of business levels.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of our revenue in our bottom line was generated through sales, so
right.
so that was a bit of a struggle for us. But as we had talked about previously, HHR certainly was an opportunity for us, and we were fortunate that we had expansions and new placement opportunities that happened or were in the works just prior to COVID. So
mm-hmm.
we continue to be able to deploy that product in the marketplace, and we're seeing great results.
Yeah.
out of it. And I'm sure you've talked with others.
Sure.
Regional markets are performing extremely well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're benefiting from that
yeah.
as we place our recurring revenue system, central determined product.
Okay, great. So how have you been operating with Novomatic now, obviously the majority shareholder in Ainsworth? And I think in Asia, they've kind of combined a lot of their efforts in Australia and Macau, from what I understand. How does that work here?
Well, Lawrence Levy, who's
right.
now our CEO of
mm-hmm.
our company, was
right.
the head of global sales for Novomatic.
Sure.
So
yep.
that certainly creates a strong relationship with Novomatic.
Mm-hmm.
Harold Newman is on our board,
right.
So that he has insight into what we're doing at Ainsworth, although he's no longer part of the Novomatic
mm-hmm.
executive team. We work closely and collaborate with them at times.
Mm-hmm.
As far as here in the U.S., we certainly operate as independent
mm-hmm.
manufacturers
right.
and vendors.
So they're just basically a shareholder.
They are a shareholder,
yeah.
but
yeah.
but we have combined forces in some areas. We've taken on the distribution of Novomatic product in Australasia. So we have, you know, brought on some employees from Novomatic that are now Ainsworth employees
mm-hmm.
that are distributing and selling that product in that market. We still utilize them in Europe to a certain extent as
okay.
one of our distributors, and we're looking at other global markets in which we'll combine forces from a distribution perspective.
Okay, great. All right, I just have one more question. You know, once we're through this pandemic, I mean, where would you like to see Ainsworth in the U.S. in the next 5 years?
Well, I think, you know, we certainly have a lot of growth
mm-hmm.
potential in
right.
the market. I think there's areas that we need to continue to concentrate on. We certainly want to be one of the major manufacturers. You know, we're mid-tier, I would call it, right
sure,
now.
Right.
We're certainly not one of the big four.
Mm-hmm.
But we have areas that we need to concentrate on. As we had talked about earlier, our ID has really been a driver for us. We have a renewed focus on that
mm-hmm.
And continue to develop product that's going to resonate in that area. We want to strengthen our low D offering and
mm-hmm.
make sure that we're competitive in that marketplace. I feel that we have some opportunity as it relates to developing some premium product that will provide value to our customers, mm-hmm. and we have some of that in the works. So over the next 5 years, we'll continue to work with our customers and develop unique products. I think being a smaller manufacturer, we're a bit more agile mm-hmm. than the others, right. so we can react quicker. Mm-hmm. And we'll continue to leverage the acquisitions that we've made, the MTD product providing opportunity for us to move into new distributed markets, such sure. as Montana, South mm-hmm. Dakota, Louisiana,
right.
Possibly Illinois, and others that come out over the next couple years. So I think overall, we're just looking to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we want to make sure that we're building a culture that's going to entice employees to come to our company and stay here and develop a great bench strength as it relates to people within the organization as
sure.
well.
Well, if you have any of the draw that the founder of your company, Len Ainsworth, had, I think it's going to be a success for sure. He's a unique individual, and he's great to get to know him over the years.
Yeah, great guy, and he's built a great company, and honored to work here.
Yep.
And looking forward to the future here.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the time, Darren. Good luck, and we'll stay in touch. I think a lot of exciting things happen, and we want to be able to report it to our readers.
Out of the running, to love scratch for another's sake. Race is on and it looks like heartaches, and the winner loses all.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Raise the bar with the Peak Bar Top Poker Cabinet from IGT, built with an emphasis on player comfort and game variety. Learn more at igt.com/peakbartop. To learn more about the new developments in the slot machine business, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGB News by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes and Spotify today. So we'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.
Scratch for another save. Race is on and it looks like heartaches, and the winner loses all.